Today on The Journey.
I know that every parent, when they hear a topic of parenting, want the magic formula. And you know what? I think the Christian community fills you full of unrealistic expectations.
Children are a gift from God. Sometimes we doubt that, especially when parenting isn't going the way we thought it would. With that in mind, today, Ron Moore offers some relief from those expectations and scriptural encouragement for moms and dads. Just before that, I want you to know about our free offer for this series. It's the booklet titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. You can order it at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after the message. Now, here's Ron with part one of God's Design for Parenting on the Journey.
Lori had been up all night with back pains that I learned later were called back labor pains. And she woke me up and said, today's the day. Thankfully, I had gotten a good night's rest because it was going to be an exhausting time ahead of us. Feeding Lori spoonfuls of crushed ice and keeping fresh wet towels on her forehead and leading her in all those he-he-he's and ha-ha-ha's was not an easy job. And finally, a grouchy nurse pushed me out of the way, and quite honestly, I didn't mind because I was exhausted. Having a baby is hard work. Finally, the indescribable moment came at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas, on a hot August afternoon. Our little daughter, our first child, entered the world. And an emotion washed over Lori and me like nothing we had ever experienced before. I remember the first time we took Brittany to church, and someone came up to us and said, enjoy every day because it will go fast. As I looked at our little baby, I'm not sure I believed that lady, but now I do. With two of our kids married, senior in college, junior in high school, Lori and I often look at each other and say, man, where in the world has the time gone? How could it possibly go this fast? Parents, we have this short, fleeting window of time to install in our children biblical values and nurture character traits, and pass on to them a love for Jesus Christ. It goes fast. And it's a responsibility like no other responsibility on earth. I know that every parent, when they hear a topic of parenting, want the magic formula. They want to know how you do this thing exactly right. How you raise a child to make sure they honor Jesus Christ, how you raise a child so that they are obedient. You raise a child with the proper steps of discipline. Every young parent wants to know the 10 things I can do to ensure my child will be president of the National Honor Society, homecoming queen or king, and receive a full academic or athletic scholarship, preferably both, to the University of Oklahoma. That's a dream for every parent I know. And you know what? I think the Christian community fills you full of unrealistic expectations. Here's a book with 10 easy steps of parenting. Christian steps. So I just want you to know there's no formula. Just relax. Take a deep breath. There's no one-size-fits-all discipline method. Every kid is different, and what works with one doesn't work with the other. So today, what I want to do is to give you just 5 things you need to know about parenting. They're not profound, and they're not new. These are reminders. And I think we need to be reminded a lot more than we need to be taught. So 5 things. By the way, in the first service, one of the kids took these 5 things, and he rated his mom and dad to see how they were doing. So I don't want my kids doing that, but I think it'd be good for your kids to do that. 5 things. Number 1, Children are gift from God. Psalm 127:3 says this, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Now, I know there are times it doesn't feel like that. Particularly young parents going through all the stuff of parenting. It's like one of my favorite theologians, Irma Bombeck, said. She says, "I remember having children. I just don't remember why." She concluded it was a 4-H project that just got out of hand somehow. A child is not a planned product. A child is not a mistake. A child is not an oops in the eyes of the sovereign God. While we understand the biology of making a baby, we know it is only God who makes a baby. "For you formed me in the inward parts," Psalm 139. "You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." A child is a gift from God. Now, what does that mean? It means a child is not your second chance at life. And parents, you got to know that since your child is a gift from God, your child is not your identity. Child is not your excuse for a bumper sticker that reads, "My child is an honor student at Who Cares Elementary School." When we understand that children are a gift from God, the questions change. You see, how does God want me to instruct His gift? His child, really? Well, it's on loan for this short window of time. How does He want me to raise him or her? How does He want me to mold him or her? The questions are not, where do you want to go to college or where I want you to go to college, but where does God want you to go to college? Question is not, here's what I want you to do with your life or here's what you should do with your life. What does God want you to do with your life and the special calling He's placed on you? Of course, our job is to help them ask and answer the right questions. See, when we understand this simple yet profound truth that every child is a gift from God, a special gift from the Heavenly Father, it is a parenting game changer. Every child is a living gift that will make you experience button-popping pride and test every ounce of your patience. There'll be times of gut-busting laughter and tears that seem to melt your soul. You'll know the unconditional acceptance and the downright anguish of parenting from this little gift, this little miracle. And because every child will take you, parents, on an emotional roller coaster ride, here's the second thing we need to be reminded of. Parents have to have their spiritual act together. Parenting, like nothing else, looks us right in the eyes and says it's time to get serious about your walk with Jesus Christ. It's time to put it in another gear. I can't keep doing what I'm doing now with this responsibility that God has given me. It's time to grow up. It's time to get grounded. Because you know the deal, speed of the leader, speed of the team. Speed of the parents, speed of the child. Hebrews 6:1 says this, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity." And if there's anything that should motivate you to spiritual maturity, it's when you hear that little baby cry for the first time. Moms and dads, you as a parent have to know the foundational truths of the Christian faith. How are you going to teach your children what you don't know? Your spiritual portfolio is much more important than your financial portfolio. When Paul was writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said this, 2 Timothy 3:14, 15, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." Who do you think those people were? and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. From infancy, you knew the Holy Scriptures. Again, I ask the question, how do you pass on what you don't have? Number three. The best thing you can do for your child is to be committed to their mother or father. Matthew 19:6, for they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. You see, as a mom and dad, making sure little Liam is in the best school district is not the most important thing you will do. And making sure little Emma's college is all paid for, that's not the most important thing you can do. And making sure little Jacob and little Ava have the best lessons and are on the best teams and spend the year traveling the United States playing grasshopper all-star soccer is not the best thing you can do for your kids. Fathers, the best thing you can do for your children is to love, be committed to, and be faithful to their mother. Period. The end. And mothers, the best thing you can do for your children is to love, be committed to, and be faithful to their dad. The stability of an intact family cannot be replaced. We talked about this in an earlier sermon regarding divorce. And one of the reasons we said God hates divorce, Malachi 3, is what it does to the kids. He knows what it does to children. You say, Ron, I think you're wrong on that. You see, my wife and I, we don't get along, and we don't communicate well, and we fight in front of the kids, and it's nasty, and it'd be better if the kids didn't see us fight, and so we're going to split up. You see, because kids are so resilient. I could not disagree with you more strongly. I do agree you need to work on your marriage. I do agree you need to go get some marriage counseling. I do agree you need to stop fighting in front of the kids, but don't make your problem their problem. And if you're thinking about that split, before you do, go read The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, a 25-year study of kids from divorce homes, and you decide if you want to put your kids through that. See, most of them will be convinced the reason you split up was because of them. See, God's given you a great gift, and He expects you to take care of that gift in the confines and the comfort and the security of a home. They are impressionable and vulnerable little kids. And they're your responsibility. God gave them to you. If you're a young adult and you're not married yet, you better be sure that when you stand and you look each other in the eye and you say, I commit my life to you for better or worse or richer or for poorer, sickness and health, you better be sure that you're going to do it. Because don't make vows if you don't plan on keeping them. Well, some of you are saying, thanks for rubbing salt into my wounds. I'm divorced. I get the kids 1 week. He or she gets them the other week or weekends. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry you have to go through that. I know some of you, that's the last thing you ever planned on or wanted. So here's the next best thing you can do. Don't use your kids as pawns to get back at your ex-spouse. Please don't do that. Never speak negatively about your ex-spouse in front of your children. She is their mother. He is their father. And that's never going to change. Make the best of the situation, at least demonstrating civility and kindness to each other for the sake of the gift that God has given you. I had a friend, his parents split up when he was pretty young. We were talking one time and he was telling me, he said, Ron, this past Christmas, my dad and his wife and my mom and her husband, we all came together and had Christmas. And my first thought is, was that a little weird? And he said, yeah, but it's something I have been dreaming about all my life, to have my mom and dad in the same room at Christmas. He was in his 30s. Number four, be the parent. Parenting is something you cannot delegate. It's not a job that you can pass on to your kid's Christian school teacher. You can't pass this on to the youth pastor. The best case scenario, the kid's going to be under the influence of a youth pastor about 2 hours a week. And they're in your house all week long. Do the math. Who has most influence on? Be the parent. You have to help them manage their time. They may want to be, but they don't need to be on every team. And you have to help them to say no. In fact, you have to say no for them. Man, I've got to give you a quick statistic here. A few years ago, Time Magazine did this article on kids, National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse from Columbia University, 20-year study. Children who eat meals most often with their parents are 40% more likely to get A's and B's in school than kids who have two or fewer dinners a week with their parents. Here's another study. 5,000 adolescents, American Family Physician. Researchers found that children who ate more meals with their family suffered significantly lower rates of cigarette, alcohol, drug abuse, and they also enjoyed a higher grade point averages and struggled less with depression and suicide. Now, why is that? Because you make good fried chicken and mashed potatoes? To have a meal together means you made some decisions not to do certain things so you can do certain things. And around the meal, you interact and you talk and you laugh and you cry and you deal with the issues of life and you go around the table asking, what's the best part of your day? And you get to know your kids. But it's not just the meal time. It flows from that. Because when you're willing to make the scheduling sacrifices to do meals together, you're willing to make scheduling sacrifices to spend time with your kids. You have to teach them responsibility. You can do whatever you want to do, but one of the reasons Lori and I didn't bring in household help to clean the house or to mow the grass was because where else were our kids going to learn to clean the house and cook meals and clean up afterwards and mow the grass? We felt like that was our responsibility. Boundaries for dating. We've always said 16, but 16 is too young. And if it is 16, you got to have some boundaries around it. Some boundaries that your kids know. Teach your kids that when they are young so that they don't know anything differently. Let them get a job so they learn responsibility outside the home. They know how to report on time, how to work hard, how to report to a boss that maybe they don't like, how to earn money and tithe their money. See, that's your responsibility. Why is it that most people today don't tithe? Because it wasn't important in their homes. So we can change that. You set the boundaries for discipline. And there's no one size fits all for discipline. It has to be loving. It can never be abusive. And it has to be appropriate. Hebrews chapter 12, for what child has not been disciplined by their father? Rhetorical question. None, if the father really loves them. If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, you are not legitimate. Think about that. So being a godly man just doesn't do it, dads. Listen to this. David, man after God's own heart. Adonijah was one of his sons. Adonijah was a mess. The writer puts it in parentheses. Let me tell you why he was a mess. His father had never interfered with him by asking, why do you behave like you do? He was very handsome and was born next to Absalom. David never disciplined him. So you can be a godly man, fail at home. David did. Parents need to teach their kids how to fail. You do not need to make sure your child succeeds at everything. Life will have some failures in it. You don't have to go talk to their teacher every time they get a 95 instead of 100. Let them fail. Let them fail in those things so they don't fail in some of the unalterable things, things they can't change. And We have a specific challenge today, parents, because of a thing with technology, and the millennials that we raise are raised in a different world. The first group that when they look like they're taking a picture, who are they taking a picture of? Themselves. Time Magazine did this article on the me generation. Listen to this. There are more incidences of narcissism in this group than any other. Millennials got so many participation trophies growing up that a recent study showed that 40% believe they should be promoted every 2 years regardless of performance. Does it matter when you give a little 3-year-old and then a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old participation trophies for just showing up? Yeah, it does. Listen to this. This is the most frightening. Getting back to living grounded. They're so convinced of their own greatness that the National Study of Youth and Religion found the guiding morality of 60% of millennials in any situation is that they'll just be able to feel what's right. Now, that's scary. A couple more. Now that cell phones allow kids to socialize at every hour, they spend and receive an average of 88 texts a day. They're living under the constant influence of their friends. Never before in history, one researcher says, have people been able to grow up and reach the age of 23 so dominated by their peers. To develop intellectually, you've got to relate to older people. Things 17-year-olds never grow up and do when they're just hanging around other 17-year-olds. These are our kids, but guess what? You're the parent. They don't have to have iPhones. They don't have to have all this stuff if it's not good for them. Would we want to put any food or a meal before our kids that we knew was unhealthy for them? But everybody else has this stuff. Yeah, but you're the parent of your kid. I don't have to answer for any kid represented in this room except four. And you don't have to answer for my kids, but you do have to answer for yours. You're the parent. Be the parent. One more thing, real quick. Parenting is modeling and mentoring. Basic show and tell. Basic teaching and then backing it up with your words. I don't have time to go through this, but if you go to our website, ronmoore.org, we have a whole list of blogs that we've done on modeling and mentoring a relationship with God, modeling and mentoring compassion, respect, honesty, integrity, biblical money principles, a lot of resources there. You can go check it out yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That should be the verse for every parent. You're the parent. Model and mentor for your kids, understanding they are a gift from God.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. Are you concerned about our society's drift away from lifelong commitment in marriage? Do you worry about that influence on your children's view of matrimony? And just what is God's design for marriage anyway? Well, those concerns are addressed in Ron Moore's free guide titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. In this publication, Ron conducts a grace-filled examination of the issues that are crippling our families and dividing our society. Drawing from landmark studies and biblical instruction, he offers encouragement for those seeking to build a God-honoring home. What the Bible Says About Marriage is yours free of charge, in print form or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free, 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
What I want to do is to get just as practical as I can. I want to give you things today that will help you in raising your children. Now, there are no guaranteed formulas. So I'm not going to say these things will guarantee how your kid turns out. No guaranteed steps for parenting success. But here are some things that you need to do so your children have a great spiritual foundation. Number one, carve out time for couple and family devotions.
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's free guide, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality, is yours with a visit to ronmoore.org or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.